Thanks for listening to the Build Alaska Works podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley, and I'm with
Tasha Kiewit.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do professionally?
Well, professionally, I am both a student, and I also currently work as an intern at UAA, but I've done other work in the restaurants and hospitality places around town. So currently, I am a lab assistant in the bakery department at UAA, which basically means that I'm the professor's second hand. I help design lesson plans, I help teach classes, I help do inventory and put orders through. I basically do everything that the professor wants me to do when she is too busy grading papers or going to staff meetings or anything like that.
You're a sous chef for a professor?
Pretty much, yeah.
And you started out at King Career Center?
I did. I actually started out at West High doing the ProStart cooking competitions, which is basically, if you don't know what that is, it's a high school competition where you have an hour as a team to make an entree, an appetizer, and a dessert, and you don't have any electricity except for a little butane burner. So I started out doing that in my sophomore year and just fell in love with cooking. And so then I went to the King Career Center, and I did their program my senior year, and I just fell in love with it even more and decided it's what I wanted to do in college.
So before I ask you about the King Career Center, how old were you when you just started cooking?
When I started cooking, just kind of like with my mom in the kitchen, you know, I was like 8.
Yeah.
But when I actually started cooking, I was like 15.
Yeah. And do you remember what made you kind of want to start with your mom or whatever when you were a kid?
Well, I just always loved creating things, and I have never been a very good artist. And so creating things with food is a lot easier than like drawing something when you can only draw stick figures. So it was just like I wanted to create something, and I also really love to make people happy. And I found that with food and with like making things, no matter what you make, it can be like somebody's having the worst day and you're like, I just made cinnamon rolls. Do you want some? And it's like, they will change their day instantly. And I loved that. It was my favorite thing in the world to do.
Yeah. I always have felt that one of the things that's so personal about cooking is that you're taking knowledge that you got from, you know, a parent or a grandparent or professionally that you've acquired or that you've just gone out and got from books or you watch a show or whatever. And you use all this knowledge and you make something for someone and they take it and put it inside their body, and then it becomes part of them, you know? That's probably one of the most personal professions you can have if you think about it from those terms, you know?
Yeah, it's great. And I found that no one experience is ever the same. And so it's like you can have the same dish like 18 times, but each time it's going to be just a little bit differently because unless you're having something that's made from a factory that is like machine operated, every time you do something, it is like different every time, and that's amazing. And then I've also make it personal for the person, where it's like if you give them a painting, it might not always be like as personal as it is if you're like, I made your favorite soup and I know that you really like, you know, basil, so I added extra basil just for you. And it's like just a really personal connection that you get to have with somebody that I find you don't really get to have if it's just like you're having just a conversation with them.
So when you're putting together a meal or a dish for somebody, when you're cooking for them, are you approaching the ingredients to that in terms of, I like these and I'm going to cook it the way I like it? Or are you thinking most people enjoy this, like their steak prepared this way or their meat prepared this way in a soup or whatever?
It's a little bit of both. So in school, they teach you this is the way that you do it, you know, standard. You learn to do a lot of like French-based cuisine, and so it's like, you know, I learned how to make, you know, a rack of lamb, and then they're like, this is how you do it. But then they also turn around and they're like, okay, now that you've learned how to do it, show me how you would do it, like put your own spin on it. So it's a little bit of both. They teach us, like I said, to do it the way that it's supposed to be done, but then they also encourage a lot of individuality. And so when I'm making something, I oftentimes start from where you're supposed to start, because a good foundation, it will make everything like the best thing. But then I also like to put a little spin on it and create something that's my own, so that you're not always having like the same chicken parmesan that you've had everywhere else.
A lot of times when I'm talking to people who've ended up going on to be chefs or to cook professionally, and I'm talking about how they got started, it was because they felt strongly that something that someone had prepared for them should have been prepared differently, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times with people who start as little kids, I've heard it's bacon. Like, they don't like the, you know, how the bacon curls up and you mm-hmm. get the parts that aren't crispy. They just can't stand that. So they get in there and start cooking bacon, and then that just becomes where it starts. And from mm-hmm. there, they go on to, you know, cook.
Yeah. I didn't have that much of an experience when I actually started getting into cooking. I don't want to say professionally because I was still in high school, but I actually was part of the ski team, and then I had had a pretty severe accident where I had torn the ligaments of my ACL and my MCL in my right knee and could no longer be on the ski team, but my mom was still working after school and couldn't pick me up, and so I needed an activity to do after school. And one of the teachers, the chemistry teacher at the school at West, was doing an after-school cooking class, and so I joined that. So it wasn't necessarily because I felt like it should be doing something different.
Oh, that's funny.
I just needed something to do. And then I had always enjoyed cooking, and I always enjoyed like baking and making things for people. And I was like, well, I suppose I could do a little bit better with this. And so that's how I found my passion. Instead of like, I don't like the way my mom cooks bacon, it was like, well, mom can't pick me up until 4. So what am I doing for 2 hours?
The only thing available. That'd
yeah.
be pretty funny. So you went from there to the King Career Center.
Yes.
And how long were you at the King Career Center?
Just a year, my senior year.
And so what's a typical day like over there?
Well, it depends on what session you're doing. In the mornings, they have a morning and an afternoon session, and I did the morning session. So when you get there in the morning, you put the kitchen together, and they have a big commercial size kitchen, and they treat you like you are a professional, which I really enjoyed because if we're going to act like you're in a job, and we're not going to treat you like, we're not going to hold your hand through all this. We're going to teach you how to do something.
And how does that manifest itself? Like, is it that you, you're obviously not late, you're dressed the mm-hmm. way you're supposed to dress? Like,
yeah.
What are those kind of things?
Well, yeah, you show up on time. And if you don't show up on time, then you either are given a less fun task to do in the kitchen or you have to sit out. They gave us a uniform to wear. So I had my chef jacket that they gave us all 2 chef jackets that we were to keep clean and bring with us all the time. I had to wear chef pants, and then I had to wear black non-slip shoes, and then a hat. So that was really awesome because they really made it feel like you actually have a part of this mm-hmm. instead of just a school situation where they come in and they're like, oh, here's all the materials for you. They're like, you have a responsibility to take care of yourself. And it was really awesome. And then we also had to like wash our own dishes and clean all the tables and everything like that. And so they were really giving us a chance to really find out if this was the career field we wanted to be in. And I really appreciate that because I've had a lot of professors before that have, not in the culinary field, but in other fields that have been like, well, we're just going to baby you because you're still a high schooler and you don't know what you want to do yet. But we're going to show you the gentle side of this profession. And at KCC, they don't do that. All the teachers that work there have experience in their fields. And it's really awesome because they're like, we know how it works in this field. We're going to show you how it works and how to do it, and it's really awesome.
So what's the process of getting in? Is it always seniors that go there? Or
no, you can start going there your sophomore year, depending. Well, now that they're a high school, you can go there when you're a freshman. Mm-hmm. But when I went there, it was mostly juniors and seniors and the occasional sophomore, and that was because you had to take half a day out of your home school to go to KCC. Mm-hmm. And so I had to work. I wanted to go to KCC, which means I took summer classes to be able to free up credit space for me to go to KCC. I worked my butt off because I really wanted to go there. So I took classes during the summer. I took like all my economy classes and all my government classes online so that my senior year I would have 3 classes in the morning that I could essentially give up as free space and go to KCC.
Well, let me ask you, actually, let's back up one more step. What made you make the decision to go there?
I took a tour. They were offering tours, and Mr. Pondofino, who's the principal there, kind of gave a speech about how, you know, this is a space where kids are able to really experience a degree field that they wouldn't normally be able to do because they do things like welding, and they do like veterinary stuff, and they do you know, actual audio visual culinary. They have like 14 programs.
There's
that they
a greenhouse,
do. Yeah. And he was like, and they were like, this is a place where you can come and you can take whatever you want to take and figure out if it's your degree field. And we're putting you with professionals. And at the end of it, if you really like your field, we can help you find a job in it. And something about that just like spoke to me, where it was like, I was really tired of high school. I was tired of taking classes and sitting in a class and just listening to a teacher talk about history and not really entertaining me at all. And I know school's not supposed to be entertaining, but yeah, it got to the point where it was like, I definitely know I don't want to do history stuff, so why am I here? And then to hear somebody be like, you can do whatever you want to do here. We have, you know, 14 programs that range from, you know, growing stuff in a greenhouse to making your own movie, pretty much. And I was like, this is exactly where I want to be.
So once you decided you wanted to go there, then what were the next steps? Then what happened?
You have to go talk to your school counselor, and they basically look at your schedule, and they're like, well, if you want to go to KCC, you need to decide, you know, you have to take either advanced classes or summer school or something to give up that free space, because there is, you have to give up your morning or your afternoon for school. And there's no way around that, because at the end of the day, they still want you to graduate on time. Mm-hmm. So I talked to them and they were like, well, you're going to have to take like two or three classes during the summer and then give up one of your elective spaces. And I was like, that's fine. This is what I want to do. So you do that. And then your senior year or your junior year, depending on when you go to school in the morning, you check in at your home school, and then you take a bus from your home school to the King Career Center, do your school day at the King Career Center, and then you take a bus back during lunch. And then you continue on with your home school day.
And you said that did they help you find the job at UAA, or how did that come about?
Well, the King Career Center, they have a job fair where they invite local businesses to come in and look at, you know, prospecting students who are in those fields. And so the culinary had a bunch of different restaurants come in, and you basically dressed in, you know, a pantsuit and or a pencil skirt, and I had a whole business suit, and you practice there. You do a whole day of like practicing reading resumes and interviewing, mm-hmm. and you basically, it's like a big job fair. But the great thing is that the people who come in are, it's not like your job fair at like the local community center where they could get anybody. They know that you are a high school student or a senior who's about to graduate and you want a job in this field. And so I actually didn't start out at the university. I actually got hired by the Glacier Brew House.
Oh, and as a professional chef or as a cook.
As a prep cook, yeah. And that was really awesome because they knew like she's got some skills, but she wants to be in this field. And so I worked for them for 2.5 years.
All right, let's walk through that for a little bit now. So what's a typical day like there?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. I started as a prep cook, which means that I came in every day in a uniform and a chef coat and pants and stuff. And I was given a list of items to prep, and that could range anything from soups and stocks to preparing the roasted chicken that they serve on the menu. And as a prep cook, it's like you are responsible for basically getting the line who cooks the food ready for the day.
Oh, the mise en place or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. The line, the
you
people
should say
who work
that
the line.
A
mise en place means everything in its place, quite literally. So it's basically getting everything ready. It's getting your station set up. When you're working on the line, if you're working like the salad station on the line, which is called pantry, then your mise en place would be having all your carrots chopped, having your lettuce washed, having all your plates in the cooler so that when you get an order, you can literally just put the salad together, put it on a plate, and serve it out so that you're not spending 15 minutes chopping a carrot for one order.
So you'd come in before dinner, before lunch,
yes,
and get everybody's
yeah,
stations.
Yeah, if I was working the
stock.
Dinner service, I would come in at like 1 p.m. to start prepping for dinner. And then when I did work on the line over there, then I would be doing basically the prep person's job, but in a very more confined space. I would have the prep people in the back would be making my salad dressings and my soups and everything like that. But I would be like, if I needed to chiffonade basil for a salad, it was like, I need to do the chiffonade of the basil. I can't pass that on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then I also did some baking for them as well, which means I would come in the morning and I would do all of their baking, their peanut butter pies and stuff. You would have to make those and dip them in chocolate and freeze them and then have them ready for dinner service that night.
So, because you've talked about this a couple times, is that the part of cooking that you like best?
I love to bake.
The baking part? Yeah.
I love it. I love cooking, but my passion is baking, and it's just like, it's my happy place. It's scientific, but it's also very like, you can do whatever you want in baking because there's really no wrong answers.
Yeah, it's a it's a mix between science and magic, kind
pretty
of.
Pretty much.
Know what I mean?
I love making magic. It's the best thing in the world. It's also very therapeutic because it's a lot of repetitive stuff. And so it's like you can just get, like, my favorite thing in the world to bake is croissants. And that's because you can, it's just a magical process of taking, you know, this dough and this butter and then combining it together in all these different layers to make a, like, fluffy croissant that is, I've been told, that the ones that we make at the university compare to the ones you can find in France. And that is, like, the best feeling in the world for me because I just get so much joy out of making people happy that it's like if I can give them a croissant that's, like, freshly baked and they can just, like, crack that open and spread some jam on it and I'm, like, see them happy, I'm like, yes, I have done my job.
We always hold France up as the sort of the benchmark, you know, and I wonder what they do there. If it's, like, this bread is as good as the bread you get over on Fifth Avenue. Like, do they keep narrowing it down to, like, other
Maybe.
Places?
Maybe. I don't know. I've always wanted to go to France and just, like, eat my way through the European districts, but
I've done that. You know, the other trip I've taken that I really like, my brother lives in New Mexico, and then my wife is from the New Orleans area, so we'll fly to New Mexico and then drive to New Orleans and just eat our way across the South, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love food. I also really love cooking, but, like, given the choice between baking something and cooking something, I definitely will always want to bake something.
See, I'm the other way. I care more about the stovetop than the oven underneath.
Oh,
it.
I love it. I love the stovetop. Like I said, I worked at the brew house for almost 3 years, so I did quite a bit of actual cooking, and I still love it, but I think, I don't know, baking is, like, stress relief for me, because I can just pound the crap out of some loaves of bread and then put them in the oven and watch them become, like, magical little puffballs of deliciousness.
So what's the hardest part of your day when you were working at the brew house?
Probably just the amount of stuff that I would have to do. I got really good at working very fast and managing multiple things at once. And they say if you work at the brew house in town, then you can work anywhere because they do so much every day, especially during the tourist season. We'd have, like, a bus of, like, 200 people get off at a hotel that we have ties with. And since we have ties with them, they're always like, hey, are you hungry after being on a cruise ship all day? We know a great place in town to go eat. And then they'd call us and be like, we just had a huge bus of, like, 200 people come in, and they're all coming to your restaurant.
And the other thing about that restaurant is the kitchen is basically out front.
Yeah, it is an open line, and then they have a very small kitchen in the back with, like, two prep tables and then, like, space on either side to work. And it is cramped and very busy. But I had such fun there, especially being able to work there when I was 18 and, like, fresh out of high school. It was, like, one of the best experiences of my life because it was like these people have enough faith in me to take care of 200 tourists who are coming in from out of town. And I don't know who else would have given me that sort of, you know, push if I hadn't been driven in the field like I was.
What was your favorite part about working there?
Just getting to know all of these people from around town. I can't tell you how many times I, like, run into somebody and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you since I worked at the brew house. Or it'll be like, hey, what's up? Like, we know each other because we run in such small circles. And the culinary industry here in town is so small. Like, you know one person, you know everybody, it feels like. So it was really awesome to get to work there. But I just really loved the experience because right after high school, I went into college. And I started doing culinary school, but then I was working in the real world at the same time. And it has been so beneficial to have that mirror to learn this is what we do in school, but this is not how it works in the real world. Like, the ideal way to make a sauce versus the, oh crap, I have 5 minutes to make a sauce. And that's been super beneficial to me when I'm writing to scholarships or I'm doing, like, interviews and stuff because it's like, lots of people, when they get out of culinary school, we get a bad rap because we're like, oh, we've been to culinary school, and I have a degree in culinary sciences, and I know everything, but I've never worked in the real world in my life. And so we get kind of this rap that we're, like, cocky, and we're, like, don't know anything, and we're still green because we don't know anything. But I got lucky enough to have the experience, and I still have the experience to be able to be like, no, I went to culinary school, and I worked in the real world at the same time, so...
So what advice would you give people that are coming out of culinary school that are going to either start their first job or are out looking for their first job? Why don't you answer those both differently?
Okay, so if you're starting your first job, be humble. I know that you think you know everything and that you have all this culinary school experience, But these people that you're going to be working for probably know a lot more than you have. They probably went to school too. And even if they didn't, like, they work at this restaurant. They've been working at this restaurant, and they know the best way that things work. And just because we were taught a certain way doesn't mean that that is, like, the most efficient way of doing something. And so always take everything with a grain of salt, and just be willing to soak in all this knowledge. Because I found from personal experience that if you're willing to learn, then your bosses and your coworkers are going to be willing to give you so much more than if you show up and you're like this brick wall of like, I know everything, I don't care what you have to say to me, just let me do my job. Like, then they're not going to be open to sharing experiences with you or giving you opportunities and stuff. And if you're willing to learn, then they're going to.
What about advice for people that are, they've graduated and now they're going to be out looking for a job in the field?
Don't be afraid to start small. Find a prep position, find a dishwashing position, and go up to them and, like, honestly be like, this is what I want to do with my life. I just want to learn. I want to get experience. Any experience is good experience, even if it's a bad one. I have had a few bad experiences in the workforce, but in the end, it's taught me, like, this is what I won't do when I have my own business, because my ultimate goal is to have my own little cafe bakery in town. And having even all the bad experiences that I've had has taught me at the end of the day, this is not how I want to run my business. So start small and don't be afraid to take a common prep position. It might not be what you want to do right now, but if you work towards it and you're honest with your employers and you're honest with the people around you of like, one day I want to be a sous chef, they're going to be willing to give you those opportunities instead of just shutting you out. Because we have such a high turnover in town, lots of people are in the prep position just to make a buck, and then they move on to something else. But what most restaurant people are looking for, what most chefs are looking for, is somebody who's willing to put the work in and willing to do anything and everything. And I'm not saying, like, suck up to your boss, but, you know, don't say no to them all the time. It's like, hey, could you take the trash out? I know you're not a dishwasher, because I took trash out all the time, because I was always like, I have a moment, the dish pit is so backed up because of the crappy day we had today, I'll take trash out. And then they were like, you're a team player, you're always willing to help, like, do you want to, you know, come on this catering with us? And I'm like, yes, I would love to come on this catering with you. So always be willing to be a team player.
What's the average kind of starting salary for people that get into the
When I started, I was making $11.50, and then I moved up, and within 3 years, I was making $15 an hour. So it's not the most glamorous, but you definitely, like I said, if you show the ingenuity and you show the fact that you want to, people are going to be much more willing to pay you more. So.
All right, I want to word this question carefully.
Okay.
So here's how I'll ask it to you. I always end with the same question, but being that you work in the food service industry, what is the weirdest thing you've heard about? Not seen. What's the weirdest thing you've heard about in the kitchen?
Heard
like
about.
Like when you were in school or whatever.
Like
the strangest things that happened in a kitchen.
Like customer-wise or like
I don't know, you
other...
choose. What's the weirdest kitchen story you guys talk about when you're in class?
Oh, man, I have a lot, actually. I've got a lot with, like, my coworkers, but I also have a lot with, like, people that I've had experience with in the restaurant. I don't know. It's so hard to... I've had people... It's so crazy when you're working on the line and you get, like, super strange customer requests. Mm-hmm. Like, I had one lady... I was baking a roast beef sandwich for her, and she sent the roast beef sandwich back because the roast beef wasn't well done. Mm-hmm. And I was like... What? It's cold deli meat. Do you not eat roast beef? And so I had to, like, put it on the flat top and, like, cook the roast beef until it was, like, well done. And it was just, like, so odd to me because, you know, you get deli meat at the store and it's deli meat. And it was like, that's, we made our own roast beef in-house, but it was the same essential
meat,
concept. And I was like, I spent, like, 3 hours making this roast beef, like, roasting it in the oven, and you want it well done? Like, what? So... It's always the customer requests are always crazy. But you have some really crazy experiences with your crew members too, because they're, if you grow to become with them like a second family, like pretty much like nothing is off limits. And I've heard some really crazy stories from like crew parties and, just, I had a coworker once who got so drunk he fell asleep in the boss's office after a crew party and just didn't come, like, we didn't find him until, like, the next day. And it was so weird because I was like, everybody was like, oh, where'd so-and-so go? Well, we were in this party. And I was like, oh, I don't know. They probably went home or whatever. And then, like, the next morning they're, like, in the boss's office, like, passed out on the floor. And we're like, were you here all night? What's going on? So yeah, don't do that though, because that doesn't end well. Right. But it's definitely an experience.
Well, and you also bring up a kind of an interesting point in that, like, unlike a lot of jobs, like you're sort of with the people you work with, kind of, you know, every day you're guaranteed kind of a rush. You have to work through, and you're all in it together. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and it's, you become such a family when you work there, because like when I worked at the brew house, we would have nights where it was like we'd do, you know, 250 covers, and a cover is a person. So we would have 250 people come in, and you would, like, in the heat of the moment, you'd be like, I do not care what you are doing right now. I need you to get out of my way. And then, with a lot more swearing, but, and you would just, like, yell at somebody and be like, you are messing up and you're getting on my nerves. And then at the end of the night, you'd be like, hey, so how's your kids? How's your wife? Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. And it's like, in the heat of the moment, you can say anything. You just have to know that it's just because we're busy. And you just get to be like, you get so, like you said, I worked with them for 8 hours plus a day, 5 days a week, and you just, like, you're standing next to the same two people every day doing the same thing, and you just get to, like, know them so much, and it's crazy.
Well, I want to talk to you about sourdough starters and knives here.
Definitely.
But we'll probably do it up there. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciated this. Had a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.